And like I'll be watching basketball and she'll just say, "Hey, are you paying attention to me?" And I'm always like, "What a weird way to start a conversation."
Really? Tell me more.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Welcome back to
Yeah.
Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Jed Sherwood. A little old school style, just me and David Griggs tonight. In our Under the Radar, where we talk about all the teams that we don't talk about during the Hoops HD report. Am I
Yeah,
thinking
that's
that all right?
basically it. That's the definition of under the radar. You're not on the Hoops HD report.
Under the Radar means the 22 conferences that are not regular multi-bid conferences, so none of the Power Four, Power Five conferences, if you include the Big East. We also don't include the American, the A-10, the Mountain West, or the West Coast Conference,
Yeah.
despite how disappointing the Atlantic 10 has been this season.
Yeah.
Everyone else is fair game for the show, correct?
Yeah, they are. One disqualifier would be if a team were in either the AP or coaches top 25. While there's a smattering of teams that are getting votes, none are actually in the rankings.
We're
So, yeah,
close to it.
everybody fair game tonight.
Yeah, and so what we like to do though is we go through the 20, these 22 leagues in alphabetical order, except for our feature conference. And I keep a little track of what conferences we featured so I don't feature the same one twice. And I keep one that I thought might be a little fun to hit on tonight, Griggs.
Okay.
As we get the screen share going, I thought we'd hit a little Metro Atlantic action tonight.
Yeah, it's been a while. One of the more I don't know if you'd call it a good story, a bad story. It's certainly
Weird
intriguing and
story.
bizarre, weird, is Marist. And if you pull up the team sheet here,
This is
their
my
strength of
favorite.
schedule, yeah, you see their tempo there, 334. Their strength of schedule is lower than that.
This is one of my favorite profiles I've ever seen in my entire life. Here
Yeah.
it is coming up on the screen. The Marist Red Foxes, 29 games into the season, have not played anything but tier four
Yeah.
opponents.
It's 19 games, but yeah, like all tier four.
19 games of the season, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
16-3 on the year. No non-D1 opponents. So I mean I mean I know non-D1 opponents get sorted into tier four, but that is remarkable. They're not gonna go all the way. It looks like the road game at Merrimack will get up into tier three, but that should be.
The Siena game is right on the road game at Siena is even right on that borderline right now,
Yeah.
tier three, tier four borderline. Go ahead.
Yeah. But what can you say? And here they are in first place. A school that hasn't had that much, success recently. We kind of liked Quinnipiac coming into the year, but they did just dump a game to Siena, and which was only their third loss of the year. And Quinnipiac is right behind them. You got them pulled up there.
Yep.
Quinnipiac, no wins outside of Tier Four, but literally like all of Marist's games are in Tier Four, and that's
Yeah,
just crazy.
but Quinnipiac has losses outside of Tier Four. They've played
Yeah.
games there, at least.
Yeah.
Same with Merrimack, who's also tied for second. I'll pull them up here on the right as well. They have played games in those upper tiers, and even have the win at Troy in the tier two. It's up in tier two right now.
Yeah.
But Marist and for those to follow along, up top there on the website, we have our survival board, our Hoops HD survival board,
Yeah.
where we track who's clinched bids. Who's still under consideration? Who's auto bid only, or who's even eliminated? Nobody eliminated yet, except for teams that are ineligible. But last week we moved Marist from possible at-large bid to auto bid only. Actually, had one of our followers take issue with that with us. But one of the reasons I want to bring this up here, because Griggs, this is actually pretty fascinating. If you look on the right side here, I'm going to change this. This is what Marist's profile will be if they win every single remaining game. Up to the conference tournament, 26-3. They could go 2-1 in the conference tournament. They could be 28-4. And I
Yeah.
don't think they have a prayer with this profile
They do.
of getting an at-large bid. Not a prayer.
Yeah, they do not. Indiana State won 28 a year ago and wasn't selected. They were close. They would have been selected had it not been for five or six teams from the power leagues winning automatic bids that had no shot at winning them. In a normal year, they would have been selected. But if Indiana State, whose strength of schedule was what? It was in the 70s. It
Yeah.
was around there. Did won 28 games. Maybe it wasn't that high, but it was substantially higher than
It was
364.
they were 28-5.
Yeah.
Marist would be 28-4, a little bit better than that. But that team had solid wins. Wins
Yeah.
a sweep of Bradley, who was very good in their conference. Wins over a split with Drake, who was very good in their conference. These were tier one and tier two, but wins last year. They beat Toledo, who was pretty good last year. They had wins that blew away Marist's best win, which would be at Merrimack if they get it,
Yeah.
by a million miles. A million
And
miles.
I always like one of the things we always say is that you can't look at things categorically and make decisions for that reason. You have to compare them to the rest of the field. But if you think that a 28 win Marist team would get selected without the auto bid, I challenge anyone to come up with one example in the last 20 years of a team whose strength of schedule was outside the top 300 that was even placed inside the bubble.
Outside the top 360.
Yeah, this one's the top 360. It just hasn't happened.
I'll throw this out there also, though, Griggs. I think if Marist wins out to the conference championship game and loses, I do think there's a chance they go to Dayton, though, in the 16-16 game in Dayton.
You mean if they went out to the conference championship game and lose?
If they win the conference championship game, win. I mean, if they
Oh, you
finish
think they'll.
28. Yes, but I think they could finish 28-4. Listen, I guess after your regular season loss, not a conference tournament loss.
Yeah.
28-4. Maybe they lose the game at Merrimack. They could be in Dayton at
Yeah.
28-4, but playing the 16-16 game.
They could be. That would be interesting because I just don't know. I mean,
Our
I don't
last
know if anybody
brackets.
without a tier three, two, or one win has ever been anything other than a 16.
Our last bracket we did on Sunday night, we had Marist going to Dayton in the first
Yeah.
four in the 16-16 games.
Yeah.
This team, that's their only shot at getting to Dayton is by winning the auto bid and going there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great story though. I mean, the record is
Yeah.
great, but John Dunn obviously
There are.
made zero effort to schedule non-conference games,
Yeah.
and he plays in a pretty lousy conference this season, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I mean, we like this team. We like what they've done. And it isn't to backhand them. But like when you're comparing them to other teams and where they're likely to be placed, there just aren't any NCAA tournament teams with no quad one, two, or three wins ever.
Upcoming this week in the conference, Marist has got a road trip to Fairfield and then a home game against Iona coming up. While we also circle Merrimack, they've got home games against Niagara and Canisius, Quinnipiac, the same two home games, Niagara and Canisius. Travel partners there, Merrimack and Quinnipiac are.
Yeah, they are.
Let's just keep following this. Let's see, Marist, if they go 2-0 again this week, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
It could happen. I still think, Griggs, let me pull the team sheet up one more time.
Yeah.
The three losses were all games they could have won. And how
Yeah, and how
fascinating would
awful
this be?
that would be
They'd have to
awful.
be on the board. They'd have to be on the survival board undefeated. They'd probably be in the top 25 polls undefeated.
They may be in the polls. I don't know how the committee would react to that. My guess, and it would just be a guess because there's no case study for it, is that they would still not get selected, even with no losses.
If you went 30-1, 31-1, whatever it would be, wow.
Yeah, it would be interesting, but they're not going to.
I would have loved to see it happen, just to see what the committee does with that, but
Yeah.
did not
But I
happen.
mean, when it seems like whenever that's come up, whenever these teams just get insane records, if it is done against the pastry cart, they either place them outside the bubble or don't take them at all.
Right. Let's go back over to the rest of the leagues in alphabetical order. We'll start with the America East, where I guess we got to start with Bryant, first of all.
Yeah.
8-0 in conference now with a pair of road wins this past week. Against the bottom of the league, but it was still a pair of road wins.
A pair of road wins and a two-game lead, Maine on their heels. The one thing about Bryant is they have what I think are their three hardest games ahead of them. They still got to go to Vermont, to Maine, and to Lowell. Will they hold on to that 2-game lead after playing those 3 games? I think those are the 3 hardest ones. I'm not saying they'll lose all of them, but I'm saying that I don't think they've played any games yet that are as hard as those 3. And again, good story. They've been winning, and they have been winning their games. You mentioned they went on the road and won 2 here, but in part of me wants to see Maine win this league.
Yeah, no,
Just
but
do.
it would be neat for Maine. Maine got the win over New Hampshire. They did lose the game at Vermont. It's a really tough place to win. Although Vermont had just come off a loss at Binghamton also. So Vermont not doing any favors for themselves to try to catch up with the top two teams in this conference.
Maine, not their best shooting night in that game either. So, but.
This week ahead, Bryant is going to be hosting Albany and at Binghamton, while Maine will be hosting NJIT and UMBC. So I think we could see the standings stay the same next week,
I
honestly.
think we will too. 2 more wins from Maine. I mean, any 2 more wins from Maine clinches at least a 500 record in conference, and I don't ever remember that happening.
Well, where I looked into this a couple, I think last week, it's been about 30 years since Maine got to host a conference tournament game on their home court. This conference tournament is played on home courts. They're in real good shape to get one of those top four seeds and
Oh,
at least
yeah.
get a single home game. That should be fun watching a conference tournament game in the state of Maine.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing one. I mean, I guess I did
Yeah,
30 years ago. I really don't remember
don't
it.
either.
Briggs, over in the A Sun, where Lipscomb is one of a boatload of teams, so I guess four teams that have 3 losses, game behind in the loss column, that Florida Gulf Coast team, which picked up a just a single win this week over Stetson. But I bring up Lipscomb because they've had the best metrics. We've liked them the best most of the season. And wow, they got a challenge tonight at lowly West Georgia. They almost lost that game.
They did. They were behind for much of that game. Lipscomb, if you pull them up here, a little underwhelming lately. I mean, overall, they're having the best season. Their metrics are by far the best. But, dumping a few games recently that you would expect them to win, and I don't mean North Alabama. We kind of predicted that one. But,
The Eastern Kentucky game.
Eastern Kentucky at home is just, I mean, that's one. That's one that's kind of setting them back right now. I still like them. I still keep waiting for them to kind of wake up. I don't know if they're a little bit bored with their season, but they better get unbored fast because they're in a race and it's a big deal. This tournament also played at campus sites, and the difference between 2 and 3 is huge. And there's a 4-way log jam tie for 2, and Gulf Coast.
Queens is eligible for this conference tournament, by the way. So there's also that battle for fourth and fifth, and you don't want to be in fifth place and have to go on the road for this tournament completely.
Jacksonville right in there. Big rivalry game, the Rumble, the River City Rumble this weekend. So that was a fun one. But Gulf Coast has won 7 of 8, and are they, while they don't have the metrics because they weren't as solid all throughout the season, are they the best team right now?
I think they are playing the best, and while I've been kind of penciling Lipscomb into my fields just because I thought they were the best team, that might change when I do my next bracket. Especially because we'll take a look at what's going on here tomorrow night. There it is, Gulf Coast is hosting Eastern Kentucky, while what's Lipscomb doing? They're at Queens over the weekend,
And that's a
so
tough game. That's a big one.
that is a big one. If Lipscomb can't win that game, I think they're done, and they may be done in terms of the regular season crowd, and now they're just going to be fighting for at least one, if not two, home games in the conference tournament.
I agree.
Over in the Big Sky Conference, Northern Colorado up there at 9-1 did bounce back from their first conference loss of the season with a pair of wins this week, though beating Northern Arizona and winning at Idaho State, and starting to cruise a little bit, although Montana started to come a little bit. They had a 2-0 week as well.
Northern Colorado has won, going back, they've won 11 of their last 12. That goes back to even before conference play, just the one hiccup. And they go to Montana tomorrow in a very pivotal game. I don't think anyone else is going to catch these two. And while it doesn't mathematically clinch anything, I think if Northern Colorado wins that, they will have had the sweep against Montana, if I'm not mistaken, and They'll have a two game lead on top of that. I think that basically decides first place.
Yeah, this game is actually at Northern Colorado
Oh,
tomorrow
excuse
night,
me, it's
though.
at Northern Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah, they already won at Montana in a dominant fashion. So they win this. I think you're right. There's no way anyone's catching them.
Yeah.
But let's go back a second here to the standings for this week, because we also had a fascinating game on Saturday. If you watched last week's show, Griggs made a comment, Idaho and Idaho State are playing each other this weekend. I think that might be a rivalry, but I'm not sure what it is. Something
Oh,
along
I am
those
sure
lines.
now. I am
All right.
absolutely positive now.
Congratulations to Idaho State, the Bengals, with their win over the Vandals and taking the King Spud Trophy for the year.
That's real. That is absolutely real. King Spud. It's not the hornet's nest, but oh my God, it's got a crown.
It's amazing. This actually was an old trophy they played for years. They lost the original. They did a 3D printout to make the new one, and just a couple of years ago restarted up the trophy game. So this is one of my new favorite trophies, King
Yes.
Spud.
How had we never heard of this before?
Well, you asked about it last week, Griggs. We found out.
Yes. Yeah, to all our Idaho viewers, thank you for filling us in on
Over the
that.
Big South Conference, well, UNC Asheville actually didn't even have a game in the last 7 days, and they are technically in first place. High Point did have a nice week, a pair of road wins, just pulled one out tonight at Radford at a close one.
Yeah, and again, it was at Radford, maybe sweating a little more than you would expect. High Point just seems like they have way more talent and way more pieces than the rest of the conference, and you can't put them down too bad. They're in second place, they're 8-2. That is really good, but they've played two fewer games than Asheville, and which constitutes Asheville might have a chance to
Asheville's
catch them.
played 8 games. They played two more than Asheville.
I
Yeah.
misspoke. I've been drinking too heavily. But again, big one coming up this weekend. And is this similar to the Big Sky? Does the winner of this game, if it's Asheville, and they get two ahead of them in the loss column, even though they got to play two more, are they sort of running downhill for that first place spot?
Well, and Asheville already beat them at home
They
earlier
did.
this season. So now Asheville not only has the 2-game lead, but they also have the tiebreaker if they can win this game. I think you're right. This game Saturday could be for the conference regular season title.
Yeah. So.
And Asheville, though, does play tomorrow night, their home game against Gardner-Webb. Could be a
Yeah.
bit of a trap game also. They don't want to make sure they don't mess up in
Right.
that one.
And for our viewers, the first place team hosts the tournament. Is that correct? Or is
Absolutely
it
not.
campus? It is not correct. Okay.
No, it's I believe they
It's
play this one in Charlotte.
in Charlotte. That's right. Okay.
They've been
They've
doing
done
that for a
that in
few
the
years.
past. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the first place team does get to wear white through the whole tournament.
Yeah, that's all they get. Because it's a standard seeding bracket.
Over in the Big West Conference, we've been following the UC Irvine and UC San Diego stories all season. They go to combined 3-0. San Diego only played one game this week, but
Yeah.
they do what they need to do this week.
Yeah,
Irvine,
but
they needed overtime in the black and blue rivalry, but they found a way.
they did, and that was kind of surprising. I mean, that is a big rivalry. It's one of the bigger under the radar rivalries out there, but they're so much better than Beach this year that it was a little surprising to see them sweat like that. How about UC San Diego? I know they're a better team than Hawaii, but it's still tough to go all the way out there. It's hard to win at Hawaii, and they did it. So let's. Well, Irvine is the better team. While they seem to have the better track too, and at large, UC San Diego also very, very good. And we get round two this weekend.
Yeah, here is, oh, sorry, that's the wrong team. UC Irvine there on the left, UC San Diego on the right. Yeah, and that UC Irvine profile, especially if they get this home win this weekend over San Diego, that's a very interesting profile should they need an at-large bid.
I think they're going to get it. This is if they're an outright first place finisher, and their metrics are that good, and they've won that many games away from home, which you got to factor in that unless they absolutely fall apart, they've got a chance at one, two, three, four, five more true road wins, and even more neutral wins in the conference tournament on top of that. I mean, it would just be a ridiculous number of wins away from home. And I just think based on that alone, the committee would take them.
San Diego before that game in Irvine has a bit of a trap game tomorrow night at home against a really good UC
Really good
Riverside team
Riverside
that
team.
already beat both them and Irvine on the season. They haven't played as well on the road, so I think San Diego should be able to win this game. They just don't want to be looking ahead to the huge game coming up here on Saturday at Irvine.
And San Diego, very recently a transitional program, so a lot of success early. And
This is their first year eligible for the NCAA tournament this year.
and man, what I mean, what a story they've been. This is such a fun league. It's such a tough league. While UC San Diego and UC Irvine have the best overall profiles, Riverside is good. Santa Barbara, a little disappointing, but stacked with talent. Northridge, an unusually good year, a program that's been really good in recent years. This is just a fun conference. I lose a lot of sleep because of this league.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Thursday night, staying up late to watch Big West basketball.
We are.
Coastal Athletic Association, and I kept wanting to believe that this Charleston team was just biding their time and was going to get moving here. Griggs, after Monday night, when they went to William & Mary and lost by 15 points, I'm ready to look a different direction. I'm not sure if it's Towson or if it's UNC Wilmington, but both those teams are playing such good basketball right now compared to some of these other guys.
So CFC, this was just a wildly weird and interesting game. Led early, then it was close, and then William and Mary just they go on these spurts if you've watched them, where they typically just won't miss. They'll just throw anything up. They're not defensive, and it was just it seemed like with about was it 5 or 6 minutes to go, they started hitting shots and the crowd went nuts, and then all of a sudden you looked at the score and what had been a close game was no longer a close game.
Yeah, but William and Mary could also do what they did on Thursday, just and
They
not
can.
hit the shots and lose by 40 points.
They can. So while they're way up there in the standings, and they are way up there, and while they're having a really good year and they're a fascinatingly entertaining team to watch, I kind of think they're a little too unpredictable and unreliable. I like this Towson team. Pat Scarry doing a great job there. I mean, he's just had a great run there. And right now it took him a while to get going, but here they are at the top of the conference somehow and looking pretty good.
I'd love to see William and Mary make their first ever NCAA tournament. I just don't have faith for them to be able to win three games in 3 days in the CAA tournament. Whereas I do think a Towson or a Wilmington is good enough to do that.
This is just poison, and I know that they're winning games, but you see their tempo. They release the ball early in the shot clock, and look at their defense.
302.
Typically, teams that move that fast and defend that poorly lose more than they win. So while William and Mary is not doing that, they're winning more than they lose. Their style of play, I don't have confidence in, as fun as it is to watch.
Lot of interesting games I circled here because all three of these top three teams are all have a pair of road games coming up this week. Towson at Stony Brook and Monmouth, Wilmington and William & Mary at Delaware and at Drexel both. And those are tough games to win, Delaware and Drexel. They're not pushovers.
They're not. And let's not forget about Elon. I know they're 3 games back, but I mean their ceiling is pretty high as well.
They have a huge week at Campbell and at Charleston, who are both right there battling with them for fourth, fifth, sixth place at this conference. Over in Conference USA, and this week is Jacksonville State on top. It seems to switch every week. But how about Jacksonville State with another good week this week, though? Not only a home win over FIU, but then they beat Liberty on Saturday. And here they are. Meanwhile, UTEP would have been up there. They had an 0-2 week. Middle Tennessee had a 1-1 week. This conference is just, you flip a coin every week because another team's on in first place.
Up until about a week or two ago, I was so unimpressed with Jack State that I wasn't even paying attention to them. They've won 6 in a row, and of those 6 wins, they've won at UTEP, hard to do, at New Mexico State, very hard to do, and against Liberty. I mean that they're probably the hottest team in the league, which And I'm just curious to see whose turn is it next week. Is it Western Kentucky? Is it Kennesaw? Who's going to be in first place next week?
You never know. New Mexico State had that run earlier. Louisiana Tech is starting to come on a little bit now. They had an overtime win over Sam Houston, but maybe that gets them rolling. Maybe Western Kentucky with that win over New Mexico State over the weekend. Who knows? But this is got to be a really fun conference tournament
It will be.
that
I
they're
mean,
playing. They're playing it now in Huntsville, correct?
in Huntsville, and is it all 10 teams? And is it a standard bracket? So once you get past the opening round, you're going to have eight teams, all of which could win this thing.
Unless Sam Houston or FIU pulled an upset in that opening round, you're absolutely right. And I think the biggest battle here, you don't want to finish seventh or eighth and have to play that extra game.
But look at that. That is one game separates second from eighth place.
And how about these games tomorrow night? Three of the games that I'm going to be paying most attention to all night tomorrow night are Middle Tennessee Jack State, La Tech Liberty, and
La
Western
Tech
Kentucky
Liberty.
Kennesaw.
Yeah, and I mean, just tomorrow night, this whole thing, I mean, the turmoil could flip again, and then all of a sudden we've got, somebody like Western Kentucky jumping way, way, way up the standings.
Meanwhile, Saturday, Western Kentucky at Jacksonville State, Middle at Kennesaw, and one of the great rivalries out there, UTEP at New Mexico State on Saturday.
That's the Rio Grande one, isn't it? No,
So this is a
it's not the Rio Grande's New Mexico, New Mexico State. That one's hot.
but this is that that is a I mean this is going to be a really really fun rest of the season here in Conference USA. Over in the Horizon League, it was upset night. Not a major upset because they were on the road against a pretty good team, a decent team at least, but Griggs. But Cleveland State's winning streak finally came to an end. I think it was up to like 13 in a row, something like that.
It had
They
been a
lost
lot.
tonight. They lost tonight at NKU, though.
I was a little surprised by this when Northern Kentucky not having the best year and Cleveland State t seemed to be on cruise control. They still are comfortably ahead. I mean, they certainly can't go into the tank, but they still got a two-game lead over Purdue Fort Wayne, and they just won there. So you figured in looking at Cleveland State that most of their hard games were behind them, and they were just going to coast right on through, and then they go and lose tonight. I still like them better than anyone else. I still think it's their league to win. I still think they will finish first, but kind of a surprise tonight.
And to our fan out there who's been championing us, putting Cleveland State back under consideration on the survival board, if we even were going to
Once you're
consider
off, you
it,
can't go back on. You
and
can't
if
go
we
back
even were going to possibly
on.
consider it, not after tonight, sorry. But I still think they're easily the favorite. The conference tournament is on campus sites for the first couple rounds, then goes to Indianapolis for the semis and the finals here. So you do want to finish in one of those top four seeds, at least get a home game like Milwaukee or Morris Robert.
Morris Robert.
It is Morris Robert, in case you were wondering.
The survival board, Chad, it's batting 1,000. It's never been wrong. Of the 68 teams that will make the NCAA tournament, they're all currently on the survival board. They're among the 364 that are on there.
You're absolutely correct. Cleveland State this week is going to be hosting Milwaukee and hosting Robert Morris or Morris Robert or whatever you want to call him. So those are the games you want to circle. But over in the Ivy League, Yale, big win at Princeton.
Big win.
Didn't slip up with a road trip the next day at Penn, and here they are in control of the conference almost, I'd say.
Let's pull them up because they're kind of interesting. Their metrics are sort of, or there's a lot of separation metrics wise. They still just have the one game lead, not enough to get inside the bubble, I don't think. Maybe I could make a case for them if I really had to, but it would be
I
hard to
don't think
do.
you could.
But this game against Cornell coming up is hugely pivotal in the sense of who's going to get the first place team. Now, again, four go to the conference tournament. I don't think the loser of this game is in any real danger of not being one of the teams that gets to go, but it's still a really big litmus test. And how good is Yale? And while their metrics may not be there, they've been impressive. I think they're one of those teams that didn't get going right out of the gate, but they're going now, And if I'm a five seed and I run into Yale on the 12 line, I'm not happy. I think I'd rather play somebody on the 9 or 10 line.
I agree with you. This Yale team is, I think this is going to be a dangerous team. But they do have work to do. They have not yet played Cornell. This is their first game against them. They win this, the conference race may be over. They lose this, we're going to
They're
go all the
tied.
way to the end. We're going to go all the way to the end to determine who that one seed is. Conference tournament being played at Providence at Brown's home court. Brown among the battles, probably a four-team battle. I think Princeton will probably be in the conference tournament.
Oh, I
I
think
think
so.
there's a big bat going to be a battle there. Dartmouth, Brown, Harvard, maybe even Penn for that fourth and final spot.
Yeah, Columbia is such a great November. And it really was. How much the most fun we had all year was Columbia in November. They have not won a conference game since. You notice they're 11-8 overall. That means they were 11-2 coming in, and it was a while before they lost that first one.
It's a shame on that Columbia team. It was fun back in November. It'd be a miracle for them to even make the top four at this point.
I mean, they're 2 games back, and
Over in the oh, we already did the Metro Atlantic. How about the Mid-American Conference and Akron now 10-0 wins over Kent State and Ball State this week. The big rivalry win over Kent State on Friday.
Akron is on fire, and again, took them a little while to get going. Didn't go right out of the gate. When you're under the radar, you have to hit the ground running because that's when your opportunities are. But listen to this, Chad. I was kind of surprised to learn this. You see, they're undefeated in conference. Their conference opener was a 3-point win at Bowling Green, so they had to sweat a little bit. Ever since then, it's not that they've won every game. It's that they've won every game by a lot. And they're a lot better than everybody in this conference. And
If you look
again,
at their final scores for the entire season, they've played one close game all season, that Bowling Green game you just mentioned, which means they may not be tested in a close game, unfortunately, for them when you get to conference tournament play.
And again, when you look at some of those losses at St. Mary's, not easy to win. They weren't really competitive in that. The loss at Arkansas State, I believe, was that opening night? I think
That
it
was
was.
overtime and overnight, yep.
And then at Princeton. Right now, I like Akron better than all those. Minus St. Mary's, I like Akron better than all those teams. I just think that it's an example of a team that didn't quite get all the way up to speed right away, but is on fire right now. And again, if you're a five seed, a four seed, and you're matched up with Akron in that 5-12 game, I'm not happy. I'd rather play a 9 or a 10 seed.
Greg's up here in the past results, we've been tracking pretty much all season because a lot of them were played on opening night. The fact that the Sun Belt had an 8-4 lead over the MAC in the Sun Belt MAC Challenge, which is 24 games total. Well, finally, this weekend, we're back at the other half of the challenge series here. So we have non-conference games in the Sun Belt and the MAC this weekend. That Akron team we just mentioned is going to be hosting a pretty good South Alabama team. We have Arkansas State is going to Kent State. Kent had a great start to the season, did trail off a little bit recently. Miami, Ohio hosting a pretty good Troy team as well, among other key games of this weekend.
Miami, Ohio also having a much better than expected year, just a game back. But the one game they lost was a blowout at home to Akron.
To Akron. Hey, I do love what Miami's been doing so far this season.
Yo, it's Travis Steele doing a great job.
And we'll see this weekend, number one, what happens with the rest of the challenge, and then we get back into regular season play on Tuesday, Akron hosting Western Michigan. Miami, Ohio, really good game here Tuesday night, hosting Toledo in a second place battle.
Yeah, that is a good one.
How about the MEAC?
How about Norfolk State sort of getting their head? I mean, they were rather unimpressive in their last couple games, but they did win them both, had to kind of sweat out both of them. Actually, I forgot they needed overtime against South Carolina State,
And
barely got that
a
one.
buzzer beater to beat NC Central, yep.
So I don't know if they're just sort of sleepwalking or what, but I still think that they're better by a lot. Just look at the overall record. My God, in the metrics, nobody within 100 of them. It's their conference to win when they show up and decide they want to play, which hopefully they will in the conference tournament. This is a team that I think we've discussed this before, that they can get inside the first four and avoid the play-in game.
I had him on the 15 line the other night.
Yeah, and maybe even get above the 16 line.
This week, they're taking the week off. They're going to
Yeah.
relax. It's okay. Don't worry
Yeah,
about it.
not much action this week at all, so.
One game Monday night, Howard at Eastern Shore, NC Central at Howard on Saturday, and South Carolina State hosting Mid-Atlantic Christian on Saturday. So that's what I'm circling.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. That's at South Carolina State. I've called and there's still tickets available.
They'll probably let you in for free.
Yeah,
Don't
they
quote me on that. Don't quote me on that,
yeah.
please. Missouri Valley Conference. And this has been one of the great stories of all of college basketball this season, Griggs. This Drake team, who lost
Yeah.
everybody, brought in a D2 roster, a new head coach, and here they are, 21-2 overall, with just. And they could be 23-0, honestly. Both those games they
Yeah.
lost, they really could have won.
Yeah, the Illinois-Chicago game, I believe that was New Year's Day, kind of a bit of a surprise, really. And then, followed that up with the loss at Murray State. So just a bad,
Home loss to Murray State.
yeah, at home. And so there a bad week the first week of 2025, but outside of that, they've been really good. That K-State game might be aging really well. Kansas State on fire now. Now the committee's going to know that Kansas State was not that strong when they went and beat them, and it wasn't in the Octagon either. I think it was K-State's home game, but didn't they play it in Kansas City? The definition of a home game doesn't necessarily mean your own court. So even though it says at K-State,
I was played at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Yes, you're
yeah,
correct.
and but I still think they're going to get some credit for that. We said this about UC Irvine. If they win out or come close to it, which they can, I think most of their hardest games are behind them. They do go to Northern Iowa. That one will not be easy. I
And
think they,
you got Bradley and URC at home. I mean, URC is a
yeah.
revenge game, and Bradley is the second best team of the conference still.
Yeah, Bradley not a good week this week. But I think that they have a path to land inside the bubble, and if they continue to play like they have been, I think they could even drop one more regular season game and still get selected.
Oh,
This is
so you're talking
a,
about two more losses, a regular season and a conference tournament loss.
yeah, which would put them at something in four.
Yeah.
And but I mean, it isn't just their record. It's some of their wins. It's how many wins they have away from home. That's a good profile.
That Northern Iowa team you just mentioned, though, they are coming on. They blew out Bradley this week. They picked up a win tonight at Missouri State.
Yeah.
They may be a team to. Maybe the second most dangerous team. I still like Bradley's profile second best. I
Yeah.
think Northern Iowa's second hottest team in the conference, though, right now.
I agree with that. And Ben Jacobson, a little disappointing. It took them a while to get going, but now that they're going, they are dangerous.
And just mentioning that Bradley team, as we record this here on Wednesday night around coming up on 10 p.m. Eastern, Bradley's at home losing to Belmont at halftime. A pretty good Belmont team, but
Yeah.
Bradley might be losing about them very way to third straight loss in a row. Not good.
Right.
This week, Indiana State's at Drake and Illinois State's at Northern Iowa. Drake at Illinois State, Southern Illinois at Bradley, and Indiana
Yeah.
State, Northern Iowa, some of the games to pay attention to there. How
Yeah, especially the Drake games.
about the Northeast Conference?
Central Connecticut making some noise. I think they're gonna cruise. They had a really bad 48 hours back in January where they lost back-to-back games, but other than that, they've beaten everybody and they appear to be beating teams with relative ease, at least in the MVC. So I think that they're kind of better than everybody else. They got a couple of interesting wins in tier two and tier three at Joe's and at UMass. I don't know if they avoid the 16 line or not, but when you look at their net, I mean, they got a stretch of four games at home, Chicago State, which might as well be a home game. They're good enough to win out.
That they are, that there's no real tough test left. At
Yeah.
Wagner, to end the regular season, they did lose. That was one of their two losses earlier this season, was Wagner at home. But I think they can win out. I think they should win this conference tournament fairly easily. It is played on home courts.
Yeah.
Quick note again, 2 weeks ago, LIU was 6-0. Somebody on this podcast mentioned that they might be 6-6 in 3 weeks. They're two-thirds of the way there, Grace.
Yeah, they are.
I didn't mean
LIU
to
just
jinx you guys, but They really had that game at Chicago State won. They blew it late and lost it overtime this weekend. But
And hey, in 2 weeks from now, they could be 6-8.
they are at Wagner, and then they have the weekend up, and then they're hosting Stonehill. So I, yeah, they may not get 6-6, but they might get 6-5 here. Central Connecticut hosting Fairleigh Dickinson tomorrow night. That's their only game this week.
Yeah, the top two teams. And if they win that, they've got a comfortable lead.
The Ohio Valley Conference is a looks like it's about to become a massive battle the rest of the way here, especially after last Thursday night when Morehead State suffered a home loss to Tennessee Tech. And meanwhile, Edwardsville, Little Rock, SEMO also in there with only one game behind them in the loss column. And there's a lot to play for with a ladder format in this conference tournament, Griggs.
Yeah, there is. Morehead State dumping two of their last three. One was at Edwardsville, not an easy game to win, but kind of getting kind of pushed around by Tennessee Tech last Tuesday or Thursday, I think it was. And it just kind of shows you like the parity again in this league. While Morehead State's 9-3, they weren't exactly blowing teams out. And this is almost when you watch this league, it almost feels like it's a coin flip league. Like you don't know what's going to happen other than that the games are going to be close.
And it's almost to me, it's what you're really playing for is to try to get one of those top two seeds because the conference tournament is going to be so close. But with the ladder format, only eight teams in it playing in the ladder, getting the bye to the semifinal will be huge, absolutely huge. I don't care if you're the one or the two seed; you just want to get to the semifinal.
I agree with that. So, a big week for Morehead coming up. They've got SEMO and Little Rock this week, two teams that are just a game behind them. And so it's just sort of like you feel like the cue ball's about to break the balls apart this week with so
Also,
many of the games in the top half going at it.
Edwardsville at Tennessee Tech, and now next Tuesday, SEMO at Little Rock. OVC's been doing this one game on Tuesday night every week so far this season. I think it must be some type of new scheduling thing, trying to get
Yeah, with
something feature
11
game.
teams, there's always one team that's sort of out there by themselves. I can't really figure out what the method is, but after what 30 years of a Thursday Saturday format in the OVC, it's weird to see them playing on any other night.
But there's a single game Tuesday nights, and then the Thursday Saturday from there. It's been a little strange for it. A little extra OVC action on Tuesday nights, though, if you're an OVC fan. Over in the Patriot League, well, it began on Saturday with American getting the great win over Army and what we billed as the game of the season here. And wow, that was it. Now American got that huge win, Griggs. We thought they were going to take control of this conference, and then came tonight.
And Bucknell
Red hot
just
Bucknell.
yeah
Red hot
just
Bucknell.
red hot Bucknell just dispatching American from the planet tonight. Army, if you watch that game, Chad, just a really awful thing happened in that game. Army was down three. It was their final possession or in the final seconds, and they hit a shot that would have tied the game had they had their bench not called timeout. And which raises the question, why can the bench call timeout? Why doesn't it have to be somebody that's actually in the game?
It's a little bit funny. I don't know if you saw the end of tonight's Army Holy Cross game, but Holy Cross had the ball down three with just a few seconds left and put up a shot. But right before they put up the shot, their coach called timeout, just like happened on Army's behalf. The shot didn't go, but it almost would have been poetic if that shot had gone, because it kind of would have been a reversal of fortunes there for
And
them.
Army
But
was way ahead in that game. They had a 20-point lead in the second half and kind of almost blew it.
Yeah, they did. Colgate got crushed at Lehigh on Monday night. This Colgate team, I think the streak is over, Griggs. I think we're gonna have a new champion in this conference. I don't know that Colgate can come back from the way they've been playing so far.
I agree. So it's kind of someone other than Colgate's going to finally go to the NCAA tournament.
American is at Lehigh and hosting Lafayette. Army is hosting Bucknell in the new game of the season
Yeah, the
in the
new game of the
conference
season
before they go to
and
Loyola.
major implications there. It could decide who gets to host that semifinal game.
Yes, it could. But if American keeps playing like they did tonight, you know, they could determine the conference champion even.
Yeah, it could.
SoCon. Samford tonight took care of Mercer.
Yeah.
Chattanooga and Greensboro also both won to keep pace, but Samford is still up a game in the league.
Yeah, and I really like this Samford team, and it's hard to not like this Samford program after losing what was by far their best player a year ago, and still rebounding and reloading and doing as well as they're doing. They did lose that game at Furman. I think that that was one of their tougher remaining road games, and they might be, when you look at their remaining schedule, they've already beaten Chattanooga on the road. I know that they play again, but Samford might be good enough to win out. They are good enough to win out.
They got to go to East Tennessee State. They got to go to Greensboro still.
Yeah.
Even going to VMI is tough. But I think
Yeah.
the other story here is this Furman team that we were praising early in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat Samford. They then lost at East Tennessee State, and they needed overtime at home tonight to beat Western Carolina.
Yeah, just sort of the bottom fell out with them, and I don't know what's happened because yeah, if you look at them, they were 12-1 coming in the SoCon play, and if there was anybody that you thought was going to make a run at the bubble, it was Furman. Now Samford's not going to do that. They just don't have the metrics. But what happened to the Paladins? They just kind of fell
Yeah,
apart.
the Dins, the Dins.
The Dens, sorry, that's what happened to them. They started marketing themselves as the Dens.
Upcoming
The
schedule
Dens,
here:
Jesus.
Samford at East Tennessee State. I mentioned that Furman's at Chattanooga. Chattanooga then at Samford. Some interesting games here at least coming up this week. VMI at Greensboro even. VMI been a little more dangerous this year than they normally are. That's.
Yeah, they are.
Southland Conference. Well, McNeese played around last week. This week they played around too much.
Yeah.
Suffered that loss at Nicholls. They'd almost lost to Nicholls when they earlier in the season when they played them at
Yeah.
home. Lost the game, first loss of the conference season, and then
Yeah.
barely beat Incarnate Word on Monday
But
night.
yeah, I mean, had it been a 40-minute and 1 second game, that game would have gone to overtime. Incarnate Word hit a shot just after the buzzer. It was correctly waved off, but just does anyone play with their food to steal a line from Stolica more than McNeese? I mean, their roster, their talent, their coach, everything about them, they should be dominating this league. And I know that they're 11-1, but when you look at like a 1-point win at Corpus Christi, it didn't look that good. You mentioned barely beating Incarnate Word at home, losing to Nichols, almost losing again to Nichols. They're just not that good. And they've shown it. They were real competitive at Mississippi State. They were competitive against Alabama, but like they just do not. It's like they're sleepwalking. And will they be able to wake up in time for the NCAA tournament? Because this is a talented roster. It's a deep roster.
They really do need to wake up. They've got a few weeks left of regular season play. They've got to start dominating again heading into the Southland
Yeah.
tournament. But right now, yeah, this team's we want I want to say they're a 12 seed. They may be looking towards a 13 line, and if they lose a few more games, who knows how much further they fall in the conference in the NCAA
Right.
tournament.
Yeah, and if, when you think about it, if you can position yourself on the 12 line, which we thought McNeese was good enough to do, and we thought they had the roster, they can win a game, they can win a 5-12 game.
Yeah. You don't want to be down on the four line or the having to
Yeah.
play a four seed or having to play a three seed.
Right.
A lot more difficult. They got a pair of home games this week, Northwestern State and East Texas A&M. They should go 2-0, but
Yep, they should.
SWAC. How about those Southern Jaguars knock
Yeah.
off Alcorn State, followed up with an overtime win over a Jackson State team that had been pretty good in conference play so far. So nice win week for them.
Yeah, nice week. 2-game lead over Texas Southern now, and I think they're running downhill.
But
They can win the league.
the story in this conference
Oh,
this week,
yes.
though,
Oh, yes. The
was the
story of
city
the
of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, where Mississippi Valley, who was rated 364, still 364 the net, went to Pine Bluff to take on the 363 team, picked up the huge road win, and then Tuesday night, Pine Bluff took down Texas Southern, the second place team, has to bounce back from that. So the number 363 and 364, the two worst teams according to the net in the entire nation, both won games in Pine Bluff, Arkansas this week, Griggs.
Well, I mean, it's just a special place.
It really is.
It's the city of miracles. And that was, well, Mississippi Valley and Pine Bluff, we knew that that was major centenary award implications. Pine Bluff beating Texas Southern was jaw-dropping, perhaps one of the bigger surprises all season long.
Of course, I got to give a shout out to Pine Bluff. They stream their games on a YouTube without any announcers. So turning the volume on doesn't do anything for you. You can hear the sound of the building. But and the scoreboard and the clock are way lagged behind. It was very difficult to watch.
I mean, it is a beautiful broadcast.
You kind of have to guess what the score is, or maybe keep score yourself or something. But.
Yeah. Fisher Price is would be an advancement in the scorebook and technology, but that's why we love it.
This week, Southern, they have a road trip to Alabama A&M and Alabama State, the Alabama road trip this week, so we'll see how they do there. Mississippi Valley at Jackson State, and Pine Bluff both at Jackson State this week, Jackson and Alcorn State.
Yeah.
Summit League.
And
how about the Tommies? Get that nice win over North Dakota State on Sunday. National TV game, too.
Yeah, it really was. North Dakota State, a good team. The Tommies going there and winning. And again, one of the better stories in college basketball. I know it's under the radar, so it isn't going to resonate with that many people, but a transitional team, a transitional team with an asterisk, seeing as how they're coming up with D3. I think, Chad, nothing against Omaha. They've been on fire. But I think St. Thomas has clearly proven that they're the best team in this league. And it's sort of irritating. I know the rules. They are what they are. That they won't go to the NCAA tournament. Because they, as a fan of the sport, would you not want them to be eligible for it?
I would. Now, they will be eligible for the Summit League tournament if they win it. The auto bid goes to the highest seeded team in the conference. So, with Omaha two games up on everybody else, Omaha is going to have an extra chance to win the auto bid, because not only can they do it by winning the conference themselves, they could do it by having the Tommies win it for them.
Yeah. And South Dakota State, or excuse me, North Dakota State, like one of the a fantastic team offensively, a good shooting team, but just kind of, shooting themselves in the foot a few times this year. I really thought that would be who would win this league, and they're 5-4. They're barely above 500.
Yeah, they had that loss Thursday at home to South Dakota State, who might now be the team that, if it's not Omaha, they might be the team to pay the most attention to.
Yeah.
Upcoming this week, huge game actually. St. Thomas is at South Dakota State.
Yeah, that's
while
a big
Omaha is going to be posting both the North Dakota schools.
Mm-hmm.
Over in the Sun Belt Conference.
Wow.
First of all, we have the other half of that Sun Belt MAC challenge, but I guess we'll start with Arkansas State. They are now 9-2. They did win their only game this past week at Texas State. Were they playing tonight or were they off tonight?
I think
they're playing right now.
Oh,
they're up 2 at Marshall early in the second half right now as we record this.
Okay, yeah, they should get that one. But again, in the Sun Belt, you just never really know what you're going to get. And if Marshall wins that one, they pull within a game of them. I was about to make the point that I thought most of Arkansas State's toughest games were behind them. I mean, they still got some challenges ahead. But with the two-game lead, Kent State, obviously not a conference game. Their only remaining home games are Louisiana and Louisiana Monroe. Teams
road
not
games.
They're not having good years. But here they are. I mean, if they can't take care of Marshall tonight, then this conference is still up for grabs.
Well, probably the team that we look at the most behind Arkansas State all season was the South Alabama team. You mentioned Louisiana Monroe, not a tough game. Louisiana Monroe played South Alabama back-to-back games for weird scheduling quirk.
Yeah.
And swept them.
Yeah.
This is a team that is way down there, second to last in the conference. Two conference wins for Louisiana Monroe in the entire season. They were both over South Alabama. Can you figure that out? I can't.
No, and how many? I mean, they call this the Fun Belt, but it is well deserving of that title. This is just year after year after year. It never fails. It's just incredibly exciting. You don't know what's going to happen. It is sort of a coin flip league. And then when you look at the conference tournament bracket, there it is on the screen. Look at the difference between eighth and second. I mean,
This
it's
is not a joke, people.
no,
It
this
is
is not
not a
one of our
joke.
parodies. Yeah, I mean, I can see why you would think it was, but it's not. That is absurd.
If you finish 11th place through 14th place, you would have to win 7 games in 7 days to win this conference tournament.
Yeah, and then probably
I know of no team that's ever played 7 games in 7 days, ever.
no. Well, wouldn't that be something? And then they would probably be in the play-in game.
Well, it's going to, I'm not going to say it's going to be a really fun conference tournament. I say it's going to be a really interesting conference
Yeah,
tournament.
interesting is the word I
Oops,
would
wrong
use.
screen.
Yeah.
Upcoming this week, we mentioned them already when we mentioned the Sun Belt MAC games. We do have the rest of the Sun Belt MAC games on Saturday. Next Wednesday, Southern Miss at Arkansas State. Want to keep an eye on that as well. Southern Miss, kind of, well, they're one of the teams that are just in this log jam here throughout the
Yeah.
conference tournament.
God. Yeah.
Whack. How about
And have.
the Lopes? Not only beating Seattle, but then following that up with a pacing of Utah Valley on Saturday.
Yeah, and that draws them even with Utah Valley, and I think it puts them back on top in the conference. I think that they are the best team. They're certainly the most talented team. They could be really dangerous in the NCAA tournament, assuming they get there. I mean, I just think that, yeah, it's their league to lose.
It really is. And I think at this point, they're done with Utah Valley on the season. And they do have a 3-game road trip coming up here. And they have a trip to Seattle still ahead later on in the season as well. So it's not easy in terms of the schedule for those reasons. But I still think you're right that they should. Maybe they lose one more game during the regular season, but that's probably it, in
Yeah.
my opinion.
And again, this is a team made the round of 32 a year ago, gave Alabama a hell of a game. It was actually sort of a rock fight. Alabama went on to the Final Four, and a lot of that team is back. If anything, I think as good as that is, 17-5 overall, I think we were expecting a little bit more out of them, but it doesn't. I mean, if they get into the NCAA tournament, they're just as dangerous as they would have been e either way.
And this is a team treading towards that 12 line as well.
Yeah.
They've got the game at California Baptist. That's their only game this weekend. That's it for our regular conferences. How about some mythicals?
Yes, the mythical conferences.
Check in on the Beehive Conference and the battle
Woo-hoo.
for the old
Okung.
bring back the bucket.
Yeah, we need to find the bucket is missing. People in Idaho, they stepped up. They let us know about their trophy, which we didn't know. This is a real trophy. Oh, yeah, that's a real trophy. The old Okung. I don't know how to pronounce it, but that is a real thing, and it's missing.
Utah Valley and Utah tied for first place still in the conference. Let's see if we have any
Yeah.
games coming up this week. No games this week,
No,
though.
no games this week. If we find the bucket, will we resume some of these Beehive rivalry games?
I think we will.
Yeah.
Front Range. Well, we didn't have any games this week. Colorado still last place of the Big 12, first
The
place of the Front
first place in the
Range.
Front Range, yes.
No games this week either in this conference. A little disappointing. We got to get some games in here, Griggs.
Yeah, I know. God, they used to play the full round robin. So,
Arizona with that big win at Arizona State in the back range to move only half a game behind New Mexico State in the back range standings.
yeah, back range. And that was a big win over Arizona State. Things got a little heat. I mean, some of these back range rivalries, Bobby Hurley not shaking hands, and he said that he would not be voting Cameron Love for all back range team.
Kevin Love is not going to get Bobby Hurley's vote for back range player of the year.
Yes.
UTEP at New Mexico State, a game coming up this week in the back range. Keep an eye on that this
Oh, yeah.
weekend.
All right.
Over the top of the top range, we had a couple of games.
We had a
Idaho
big one.
State,
We had a
how about
big one.
the
Yeah.
Idaho State Bengals,
Yeah.
after taking the King Spud Trophy,
Yeah.
are now sitting here at 4-0, dominant. That's an
Yeah.
automatic bid to the NCAA tournament, I believe, is it not?
It's a mythical bid to the NCAA tournament. Yeah.
No games this week, though, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And our newest co chick, our newest
Perhaps our most
conference.
far-fetched.
UCLA with the win over Oregon, now 6-0 and dominating the Conference of Champions right for the time being here.
Yeah.
Take a look. I think we had a couple games this week. Colorado at Utah. Colorado, despite their winning the front range, is
Yeah.
0-3 in the Conference of Champions as well.
Yeah.
I don't know how you win one conference and lose the other at the same time,
Yeah.
but congrats to the Buffs, they're finding a way to
Yeah.
do it. And
And it would just be
Wazoo,
great.
Oregon State also.
Yeah, and we conference it is just a mythical league. It's a pipe dream, but could you imagine a world where all these teams were actually in a real conference? I mean,
I don't know. That'd be crazy.
yeah, it'd be
Absolutely crazy.
crazy. Yeah.
Actually, this will be Utah's first conference game this week also, so congrats to them finally getting the
Oh,
action.
yeah, finally.
Top 10 list.
Yes.
Our colleague John Salica voted on this as well. Top 10 teams here. Give us some honorable mentions. Did not quite make the top 10. St. Thomas, Cleveland State, Marist, and Liberty. Got a little bit of love. Didn't quite make the top
Yeah.
10, though. At number 10, how about McNeese? Hanging
Yeah,
in there in St.
barely hanging
Louis.
in there. They were my 11th team. I actually deleted them and voted St. Thomas as my 10th.
Number 9, Arkansas State. We just
Yeah.
discussed them in the Sun Belt. Number 8, the Lopes.
Lopes back on top after the blowout win.
Tied for 6 between Samford and
So
Akron. Two really
two
good
really
teams
good
there.
teams. Yeah.
Number 5, how about Yale? Moving up the
Yale
list.
moving up, yeah. And God, if they beat Cornell, they're steam rolling.
They may jump over Bradley, who's in
I
4th, if
think,
they beat
yeah.
Cornell. Bradley's heading in the wrong direction. In fact, as
Yeah,
we
they
record
are.
this, they are still trailing in the second half of that game. Although Arkansas State is now trailing as well, so
Yeah.
who knows? UC San Diego coming at number 3.
Yeah.
Number 2, and this was the first week, this team actually got one first place vote, but ended up in second place, the Drake
Okay.
Bulldogs.
Drake, yeah, I could see. I voted him second place.
I voted them number 1 for the first time in a
Yeah.
while. That's how good I think this team is, how incredible story it is, despite how good the number 1 team is. No surprise.
Yeah.
UC Irvine Anteaters. On that note, I guess we should go to any other final thoughts. And not, guys, let me start with my own final thought here. I just want to give
Sure.
a quick non under the radar final thought. Quick shout out to Dick Vitale. Everyone who's been following him know the
Yeah.
struggles he's been going through with his cancer that he's beaten, and then an injury where he fell. Just was announced this Saturday, 6 o'clock. He's going to be calling the Duke Clemson game on. I guess I assume it's on ESPN. So congrats that he's finally getting back on the sideline. Be good to hear his voice. It's been a long time since we've heard him on the call of a game.
Yeah, and I've always been a fan. I know that there's people out there, and I understand that where he kind of got on their nerves, he kind of played the role of a clown, some would say, as he was doing the games. I didn't think of it that way. I just thought he was just that passionate. I thought he was wearing his emotions on his sleeve. And one of the things about Dick Vitale that might get lost is just how unbelievably knowledgeable he is about college basketball. And it's not an ACC homer. He could go into the rotation to the 8 and 9 man rotations of teams like Western Carolina off the top of his head. It's like Rocco Miller. It's incredible how much information is in that guy's head. And the other thing, Chad, I guess I'll just piggyback off of your final thought is in the 80s and 90s when college basketball became a regular part of cable television, I honestly think he had a lot to do with making the sport as popular as it became because he was just so entertaining.
He was, and I'll just throw this out there that people mentioned that clown thing. There
Yeah.
were some guys in other sports that were kind of that clownish guy, but they never knew anything about the game either.
Right,
I
yeah.
think you're dead right. Dick Vitale knows and is as passionate about college basketball as anybody in the entire world is, and
Yeah,
so
he is.
it's great to be great to hear have him back. But I
Yeah.
guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back Sunday night after the big super game during which you
Yeah.
should eat a bowl of food
Yeah.
with our Bracket Rundown Show, Monday Night Hoops HD Report, and next Wednesday, another Under the Radar. Until then, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Talk to you again real soon.